Hello there. Well, I wasn't planning on doing another podcast this evening, but I was laying in bed and couldn't really sleep. It's my last night on Milos before I head back to Athens tomorrow, and so I was bored. I started calling some people, nobody picked up, so I'm just sitting here on my terrace. Got my pistachios, which I'm trying to open, and I buckled in and I bought some smokes. I wasn't going to do it, but I did it anyway. Just going to open this bag up. So you might hear a little cracking sound. I didn't really have a big topic to talk about, but I don't know. I was just bored. And this little recording device has become my, like, little confessional. So, instead of talking to one person, I'm talking to all y'all. Today was pretty uneventful. I turned the ATV in this morning. I was pretty sad about that. It was really fun to ride around on the island. And I think I'm addicted to ATVs now. One little side note about ATVs and scooters in Greece is they're very strict about scooters. So apparently you need a motorcycle license even to rent just a small 50cc scooter, which I didn't know. It kind of sucks. But I was able to rent the ATV. And that was even more fun, although it was a little bit more expensive. But it was like just a fun thing to do. And checking out all the beaches and stuff. I guess the other note was, so I was going to meet up with this German woman that I met in Athens at the hostel there. She said she was coming to the same island. So we had just been texting, and she was going to meet up with her friend and meet here. So that was yesterday that they arrived, but their boat was like 2 hours late. So I went down to Adamatas, which is the main town by the port, at 6:30, and then got a note that their boat was running late. And, like 2 hours late. So I was like, oh shoot, I could either drive back up to Triavassilos where my Airbnb is and wait and then come back, or I could just hang out. So I decided to hang out. But it ended up being kind of late, and it started getting windy. So I was getting pretty cold just sitting out, like, at this open air restaurant. So I don't want to talk smack, but the whole thing ended up being kind of a bust, just because I didn't really know her that well. We just talked briefly at the hostel, but we exchanged numbers on WhatsApp, and I just, you know, it'd be fun to, like, meet up with somebody, have somebody to hang out with, So, so they arrived like 2 hours late, and I was like, hey, I'm sitting on the ATV, come find me. They're like, no, you come to us. And I'm like, okay. So I, like, get on the ATV and cruise. I was just like, just barely, I don't know, not even a block away. So I just, like, rode up, and I could tell she was in a bad mood. I don't know, because of the boat or something else. Her friend, Jules, who's from the U.S., was super nice, but this woman, Sabby, was, like, just in a foul mood. So I was like, basically the whole convoluted plan was they were staying in a couch surfing place, and they couldn't get in there until, like, 11 o'clock. So they had asked if they could, like, drop their bags at my place until they were able to check into their place. And I was like, sure, but I'm just on this ATV. So I was basically like, You know, when I pulled up, I'm like, hey, why don't you guys get a cab, get a taxi, and then follow me? And she's like, no, we don't want to take a taxi. We're going to take a bus. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what you want to do. They're like, well, we're going to sit here at the restaurant. I'm like, okay. So I was like, well, I'm too cold, so I'm just going to go back. And if you guys want to meet up later for a beer or something. Anyway, it was just like, she was just in bad mood. And I was like, I'm fine. I'm too cold. I want to go back and, you know, put on a sweatshirt. So we didn't meet up. Was it last night? No, it was the night before last. I'm screwing up the days or whatever. And then yesterday, I was riding around to some beaches on the south side of the island. And they're like, oh, we're going to go into Adamitas. I know I'm screwing up the name of this town, but, and then if, you know, we can find a location and maybe if you want to meet up or whatever. And I'm like, okay, I'm at this one beach if you guys want to come here, but whatever, just let me know where you're at and I can come meet you. Didn't hear back anything. So I'm like, okay, whatever. And then, so I went to the beaches, I rode around, I just did my thing, came back to my Airbnb, and then a while later, they're like, hey, we're in Triavasalos. So their couch surfing place was in Triavasalos, the town that I'm in, and I look, and then here's our location, and I look, and it's the, like, restaurant that's just, like, literally just steps down the street from my Airbnb. So I'm like, oh, cool, I'll just come meet you guys. But I had texted like, hey, I'm thinking of going up to Placa to watch the sunset. Placa is this other town that's up the hills, not very far. And then there's this big hill on the top with a castle and it's supposed to be great for watching the sunset or whatever. So they're like, okay, but we're going to eat first. And I should have just said, hey, go ahead and eat and I'll go do the sunset thing and we can meet up later or something. But they had already ordered food, and I was like, okay, maybe we just eat quick and we can go. But the whole dinner, I don't know, like this woman, Sabi was her name. She was just like in a foul mood. She was talking about how the rental car place like screwed her over. Hold on, I'm gonna light my cigarette. And, she said she had several bad touristic interactions. And meanwhile, her friend was actually quite pleasant. She was very nice. And so I was kind of just like ignoring the negativity and talking to her friend Jules mostly. But I was also kind of like, hey, like, I kind of want to get going, go see the sunset. So anyway, we like finished dinner. They had this like little rental car and I had the ATV and we drove up to Placa and we kind of just had missed the sunset. I mean, it was already down behind the clouds and I just wanted to get a nice picture of it. And, no big deal though. It was like, whatever. So Jules followed me up to the top and Sabi didn't want to walk all the way to the top. So she kind of hung back and then we walked around Placa, the town, a little bit. It's a small little town. They have a tiny little plaza. And so, I don't know. It was just everything out of her mouth was just like negative, negative. Like everything was like, oh, this is all just for tourists. You notice there's no locals here. Da 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 da. This is why the islands suck or whatever. I don't know. Like all this stuff. And I guess I was just really not sensitive. I wasn't sensitive to it. It wasn't bothering me, but I was just like, I guess because I've just spent the last several days like having a super relaxing time, and on these two really chill islands. And yeah, they are mostly geared for tourists. I found out later that Milos, has a permanent population of like 5,000 people. Everyone else is basically just supports the summer tourism industry, which is ending fairly soon. But whatever. The whole point was, woman was just like in a really kind of foul mood, and I totally understand that. Like I've been there. I've been on trips where I'm just in a bad mood, or like stuff goes wrong, and I'm tired or hungry, and I think everyone that has gone on a vacation or a trip of any kind of gets to this point. I just was trying to walk a fine line of like, I didn't want to engage, because I didn't want it to rub off on me and get me in a bad mood. But also, you know, I did feel a little sorry for her to some point, because she was just like, whatever, having a really negative time. Although she said she's traveled extensively through Greece, seems to know it really well, was talking about like buying a house somewhere in Greece. So she obviously has a big interest in Greece itself. I don't know, because all the experiences she was relating, I haven't had those. Everyone I've interacted with has been really nice or just neutral. I guess I've had a few things go wrong. Not really main ones, but I understand, like, you know, like the, I don't know, but it's like, I think you've got to just sort of, like, if you feel that negative thing coming on, I think you've got to just, like, stop and, like, recenter yourself. And I think this isn't just for traveling. This is just life in general. It's, like, a skill that I'm trying to learn, of not, like, getting super spun out about stuff going wrong, because I've been very susceptible to that, and this is why I closed my business. I mean, one of the main reasons why I closed my business is just you get like a cascade of like negative things happening or negative interactions, and then it just puts you in a bad mood, and then now you're like, everything's kind of compounded. And so and then today, so they had talked about like doing this like half day sailing trip, and it was only like 29 euros. And last night I was like, well, I'm gonna play it by ear, but I'll like let you know tomorrow or whatever. So this morning I got up and I was like, shit, I returned the ATV, came back, didn't really have that much to do. I was just like texting people and dorking out on the internet and stuff, and so I texted them, and I was like, yeah, like, if it's not too late, I'd love to come with you guys to the sailing trip. So I think she had mentioned that it leaves at 3 o'clock. So she sends me first it was like, well, we can't find the brochure anymore. Are you in Adamas? Can you go to the travel office and get another brochure? And I'm like, sorry, I just got back here. I'm back in Triavasilos. And I don't know. It was just like still this like negativity. And, I'm like, oh gosh, sorry, that sucks. I don't know what to do. And then later she texted me and said, oh, well, we found the brochure. So we'll book a reservation. Oh, so she left like a voice message. Like, you can leave like a voice message on WhatsApp. And it said, I don't remember exactly what it said, but it said, it's at 1350 something, some Greek name. So I took that to mean 1350, whatever the street name was the address of where we're supposed to meet. But later I found out that 1350, what she meant was 150, like, but she was saying it in military time. I mean, how am I supposed to know that? So I immediately texted back and said, what time? Or what time am I supposed to be there? No response. And then like half an hour went by and I'm like, is it 3 o'clock? ? No response. So I'm like, okay, I don't know. I'm assuming it's 3. And then her friend Jules texted me like at like 1:20 and said, it's at 1:50. Can you make it? And I'm like, yeah, sorry, that's not enough time, because I would have had to catch the bus down there, and and the buses only run like sporadically, and I just didn't think I would be able to make it. So I said, well, you know, oh well, too bad, sorry, have a good time. Anyways, like a long, stupid story, but I don't know, she sent me this kind of like nasty, not nasty text, but it was like, listen to the message carefully, all the information is in there. And I don't know if she sent it like right after I sent my thing about what time it was, or if she sent it later or something, I don't know. But I mean, how hard is it just to text back and say, oh, it's at 1:50, like, see you there, you know? I don't know, it's just weird, like very bad communication. And but she seemed like she was like frustrated, like having to plan, like feeling like she had to plan all this stuff. And I'm like, and first of all, I don't really care if I meet up with these people or not. Like, I barely know this person. I just talked to her for like 20 minutes at the hostel in Athens. You know, it's not a big thing. I'm perfectly happy just hanging out by myself. But it's just the whole point of the long story is that it's just like, I think just that negativity, when you feel it coming on, I think you have to stop and breathe and like meditate or recenter yourself or whatever. I know it's easier said than done sometimes, and I can list multiple times I've been on trips with other people and I've gotten to that point where I've had it, I'm done. So I'm not calling her out specifically, but it's just one of those things. So I'm, you know, curious, you guys, if you have any tips or tricks to counter that tremble, grumpiness or whatever. You know, it'd be interesting to hear what strategies you use. So it's my last night in, it's not my last night in Greece, but it's my last night on the island. Got to get up tomorrow and do another sort of transit day, get on the ferry, go back to Athens. I'm going to stay at the same hostel where I had the snoring incident, so hopefully that doesn't happen again. And then I'm kind of excited for Cairo. I really don't know what to expect. Some people yelling. I really don't know what to expect. But I kind of imagine that it's going to be one of those sort of chaotic cities, along the lines of, you know, places like Hanoi or Kathmandu or something like that, which in a way I'm kind of looking forward to if that's the case. There's something about those kinds of places that are just really chaotic, where the traffic's crazy and, you know, there's just, I don't know, goats walking down the middle of the street and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It may not be like that, but there's something just kind of grungy that I sort of like about it. It's in contrast to like some of these like quote unquote nicer European cities that are all like orderly and, you know, everything's like much more I don't know, planned out and manicured and whatever. Those are really, I mean, really beautiful and nice, and there's a lot of history and stuff like that, architecture, culture and stuff, but there's just something about a, like the chaos, which makes you really feel like, oh yes, I'm like traveling now. Like I'm in a strange place. Again, we'll see what it ends up being like. But I'm kind of looking forward to it. The other side note is I got an email from Paige, our team leader, about Jordan, and I guess the dress code is really a big deal. So not only the women, but the men also have to wear long pants and maybe long sleeve shirts. and I'm looking at my backpack, and all I've got for long pants is like some black sweatpants and some jeans. And if that's all I got, it's going to really suck, like working out what I assume is going to be the hot sun in black sweatpants and wearing those same sweatpants every day for a week. So I sent off an email to one of my teammates, Denise, saying, "Hey, is there any way I could mail you some pants and have you bring those to me? Otherwise, I may have to be doing some pant shopping." I don't know. It's just one of those things. It'll all work out, I'm sure. Otherwise, I'll just be like a real grimy, sweaty, nasty person for a whole week. And maybe try to figure out a way to wash my sweatpants in a sink every day, unless they have laundry service where we're staying. And I don't really even know where we're staying. It's apparently fairly remote. We're not expected to have any internet access, so no internet, no alcohol, long pants, all that stuff. It's going to be fun times. But if it's anything like all the other Habitat builds, we'll have some awesome people. Some of the people that I've built with before: Katie, Glenn, Denise, Paige, Elizabeth, are going to be there, and they're awesome people. I think there's two or three new people that I haven't met, so I'm looking forward to meeting them. But yeah, and then the other thing is, I looked on my phone. What's the date today? It's the 23rd, so I've been traveling for a little over a month. It's crazy. Like, I mean, in a way it doesn't seem like, it seems like time has just flown by, but in another way, I'm also going, wow, I'm not even a third of the way into this thing. And so that's just like a little milestone. And, you know, it's funny, like, to me, 3 months traveling seems like a long time, and to a lot of my friends, it seems like a long time, like a crazy odyssey. But then you meet these other people who are traveling for like 5 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year. You know, I met this Italian guy on the last trip that was like, had literally been traveling for 2 years straight. Oh, here's my brother calling or texting me back. I'm going to try to call him. Hey, maybe I can get Gavin on the podcast. Hold on a second. Do-do-do. Seeing if I can FaceTime him. Sorry, guys. This is not... It'll be worth it.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Gav.
How you doing?
Good. Do you mind being... recorded? You're on my podcast right now.
Oh, nice. My podcast.
They're like, hi. So I've just...
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I'm just sitting out on my terrace. I broke down and bought a pack of cigarettes and a little bag of pistachios, so I'm eating pistachios, having a smoke, and podcasting. And yeah. I was bored. I couldn't sleep, so I thought I'd give you a call and see what's happening.
Not much. Just did a bunch of catering this weekend. Body's a little beat up from that. And gonna go sign up for a temp agency today. So things are exciting over here.
Woo! So for all my three or four podcast listeners, you catered for our sister Sirota?
That's right.
How was that?
Well, the first event was like 100-person wedding.
Are you like bartending, or are you doing something else?
I was bartending for both.
they like a sloppy drunk fest, or were people pretty tame?
The wedding was pretty sloppy. Yeah, it was pretty sloppy. But they had a party bus, so I wasn't worried about people drunk driving. The memorial was wine and beer that we served, but then people, some of these oldsters, you know, like 80-year-old men, decided to bring a handle of Pendleton whiskey, and so.
That's cool. Is that what is?
So where are you right now? Where are you right now?
This is my last night on the island of Milos.
Okay.
Which, if you Google map it, it's like a horseshoe shaped island in the Aegean Sea. I am getting on a ferry and headed back to Athens tomorrow, and then I'll stay one more night in Athens, and then on Wednesday I am headed to Cairo.
Awesome. So before you leave, you have to next day air me some authentic spanakopita.
Oh, dude, I would, but it would just be a greasy mess by the time it got to you.
Yeah, I know.
But seriously, it's like that's been my breakfast every day for the past week or so. It's just like a spanakopita and a little coffee, and the coffee here is amazing. It's really good.
Yeah.
As opposed to the, I'm not going to bust on Croatia, but the coffee in Croatia was a little disappointing. It was like you ask for a latte, and they open up these. It's almost like a glorified Keurig machine where they open up this little packet, stick it in there, and then you get this little shot glass size like latte, and it's just not cool.
Well, the Croatian motto has never been Croatia. We do coffee, you know, so you can't really.
Well, but it is a bit of a foodie culture and stuff, so I thought their coffee would be a little bit more on point, but
maybe it's this. Maybe it's because their food's so good, you want to keep it in your body longer, so you don't drink a lot of coffee.
That could be the case. No, I think I'm ruined on good spanakopita, and it's weird when you're just in an island and it's sunny and whatever. It's like really like in the morning I'll get like a spanakopita and a coffee, and then sometime in the late afternoon I'll get like a big Greek salad with a big hunk of feta on top, and it's like totally satisfying. I mean, I will go down to the market and get some Pringles or something too, but or some pistachios, but
I never fully appreciated spanakopita. I've always loved spanakopita, but I've never fully appreciated it until I cooked spinach, when you're like, take about 4 pounds of spinach, and then you cook it, and you reduce it down to about a cup of spinach.
It's like the opposite of one of those little dinosaur sponges that you throw in the swimming pool, and it
the little pill you put in the cup of water.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of that.
Yeah. If for people at home who want to make spanakopita, however much spinach you think you need, get three times as much.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
There was a place when I lived in Astoria, Queens, which is a very heavily Greek neighborhood. There's this place called Euromarket, and I walked in, and I'm a white guy from Portland, Oregon. I don't know anything, and so I walk into this Euromarket, and they have this cheese, this huge long cheese counter, and there's about, without exaggerating, it's about 30 different types of feta.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It's good stuff. And when you just get like a big chunk of it, when they're not stingy with the feta, it's really good. They even had this one place I went to, I was like, oh, I'm gonna get something different, and I saw it was said spicy cheese salad, so I was like, I'll get that. And I'm thinking, okay, it's gonna be like spicy cheese with some vegetables or whatever. No, it was just a big dollop of spicy cheese.
Jesus.
So they give you some bread at the table too. So I basically just use it as a dip, and I was just eating spicy cheese. I'm sure that's not good for my my gutty works, but
whatever.
Yeah.
Certain times, there was a place in New York called the Bohemian Beer Gardens, and you walk in, it's like a city block courtyard, and I think it's Polish or whatever, it's like Eastern European food. So they have like Bodies. I forget the name of it, but I ordered it, you know, because you're like, whatever, that sounds fine. And it's like just a fried, deep, breaded, deep fried slab of cheese.
Oh, Saganaki.
Maybe that's it. Yeah.
I think.
And, yeah. I mean, it's just a coronary on a plate, but it's so good.
So the seafood is incredible. I've been, except for the day that I ordered moussaka, pretty much I've been fully pescatarian this whole Greek leg of the trip.
Oh yeah, I mean, you gotta do fish there.
But I had to try the moussaka, and man, it is so fucking good, and I wanna, like, figure out how to make it when I get home.
Okay, I will sous chef you on that.
Nice.
Awesome. So where are you going in Egypt? Where are you headed?
Like all these stops, I just only have a very rough plan, which will change. But I'm planning on doing at least 2 days in Cairo. You know, I'll do all the touristy shit and see the pyramids and stuff. And then my thought was to go down the Nile and go to Luxor. My friend Aaron said that that's really cool. So that's my rough plan, but the nice thing about the hostels is you get a lot of, like, information, and you talk to other travelers, and you kind of have an idea what you want to do, but then people are like, oh, that's cool, but you should think about doing this other thing too, or, you know, or that sounds really fun, but it's pretty lame, you know, it's actually lame, and you should do something else, or whatever.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't know, that's my plan.
It's kind of good, you kind of have a way to avoid tourist traps that aren't worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. As best you can, but, yeah. I mean, like, yeah. Yeah, Greece definitely has tourists. I mean, especially the islands have a lot of tourists, but it doesn't feel overrun with tourists. I mean, it's probably because the season's almost over. Croatia definitely, like, Split and Dubrovnik and stuff was just, like, packed with tourists. But it was still fun. I mean, it's still really fun and stuff, but,
yeah.
You know, it's just to be expected, I guess.
Well, I have the interesting challenge of trying to sell myself for office work that I haven't done in ages. And so, you know, I can't put on my resume. I'm good at feelings.
You can be the office hugger, hugging person. Or
yeah, those guys don't get fired. Yeah, there's a whole movement surrounded around that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well,
yeah, so.
maybe you need to podcast about it. Just do a bunch of, like, silly temp jobs, and then you can write a play about it or something.
Yeah, I'd love to
write
about the kind of either actual or implied non-disclosure agreement. Legal liability for minimum wage.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
How's Charlie doing?
He's adorable. Mm. He just had 2 days in Hood River, and because we went out there, both Christy and I went out there for catering, and Charlie had to go alone with the other two dogs while we were gone.
Oh. So,
you know, he's not always the best with new places. He missed his Uncle Zach.
Oh. For anyone, I know it's impossible to believe, but there may be one or two people listening to this podcast who are not aware of the His Royal Highness Charlie Duke of Scruffington.
Yeah.
So maybe you can kind of give a small introduction as to what that is.
Sure. So Charles Bigglesby, he was the third Earl of Scruffington, and he had an ascension to Duke. So now he's His Grace, Charles, Duke of Scruffington. And he is a 24 or so pound terrier mix who is really scruffy. He's like part wire hair terrier, part hyena, part bat, part chupacabra. He is really smart and very manipulative, and he goes, he has the ability to look like a wizard in 1 second and a possum in the next. He's kind of a doppelganger. He's kind of like a shapeshifter. He's a strange, very majestic forest creature. That's the best way I can put it.
He is a forest creature. The way I describe him is, it's like the movie The Fly, where Jeff Goldblum is like perfecting his teleportation machine. But imagine instead of Jeff Goldblum, it's a hobo, and instead of a fly, it's an Ewok that gets caught in the teleportation machine. So it's like a hobo and an Ewok got fused together, and that's what he is.
His hobo game is strong. You know, to quote The Simpsons, nothing beats the hobo life, stabbing folks with my hobo knife.
Whoa, nice.
and that's Charlie's going to be.
I choked on a pistachio after that.
How did your brother die? Oh, pistachio.
Yeah, it was like George Bush with the peanuts.
Yeah. With a pretzel. It was a pretzel.
Oh, pretzel.
Yeah. It was the most patriotic pretzel that ever lived.
And so I also have, I know Christy's not on the phone too, but Gavin's girlfriend Christy worked for Keen, and I have to give a little shout out to Keen because these Keen flip-flops that she got me, I guess it was like over 2 years ago, that I've worn. Basically, back in Portland, I would wear them every day during the summer, walking to and from the dog park and just around the neighborhood. And then on this trip, I mean, I pretty much do everything in my flip-flops. I went and hiked up on this, I was just mentioning this little mountain placa and my flip-flops, or just going on like other hikes with the flip-flops, and they're, these freaking things are indestructible. They're amazing and they're super comfortable.
Awesome.
So
yeah, I have a pair myself. I just I have like the softest feet. There's nothing I can do about it. I used to work on my feet for 17 hours at a clip, and my feet just are the softest, and so because I'm such a delicate flower, the little thing that goes between the just really bothers me on any kind of flip-flops, but they are comfortable. They're actually the only flip-flops that don't bother me like crazy, crazy much. You know, that's bad English, but whatever.
Crazy, crazy much.
Crazy, crazy much.
Have you seen the pictures of Sirota's new house?
I have. It looks amazing.
So, I was looking at them. So our sister Sirota, who owns Boda's Kitchen in Hood River, they're selling their house and buying a new house in Mosier, and she sent us pictures the other day. And this thing is insane. So I am now officially going to be referring to it as South Fork Ranch from the TV show Dallas.
Give us some of your Dallas quotes. You have some good ones.
They're actually not my quotes. They're J.R. Ewing, as told to me by Chris Jordan, who is like the prime Dallas fan. He's even got a framed picture of J.R. Ewing on his wall. But the one that always comes to mind is, and this is by the late great Larry Hagman. Who also played Darren on Bewitched. But his quote, "You know, Sue Ellen, you're drunk and a tramp, and no judge in Texas is going to give you custody of that baby."
Wasn't there one about you'd see the world a lot clearer or something?
Yeah. You know, Sue Ellen, you'd see the world a whole lot clearer if you stopped looking at it through the bottom of that liquor glass.
See, that's a line that I wish I had used at some point bartending. You know, when some drunk asshole was being an idiot.
Oh, that would be amazing. Maybe you need to open up a Dallas themed bar where you just wear like a powder blue suit and a bolo tie and a big 10-gallon hat, and you just and you insult people using J.R. Ewing quotes.
That'd be amazing. I do have an idea for a bar whole theme of the entire bar, but an idea that you could do in a bar, where if, like, if I own my own bar, one of the things I would do is I would have, like, a pedestal near the front door with a velvet pillow on it, right? And on that velvet pillow would have to, would be a really sturdy microphone, like a cordless mic. And so as you're leaving, you can walk, you can grab the mic, turn it on, and say whatever the hell you need to say, and then you can drop the mic and leave.
Oh, like a little mic drop pillow. That's amazing.
A mic drop pillow.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, it's just, you know, I think it would be, I think it would be a big hit.
Yeah. I'm going home now. Fuck all of you.
Yeah, and some people's mic drop moments would be really lame. And yeah. Like, people could, like, you could also distribute cards throughout the entire bar of, like, 1 through 10, and people could, like, rate them.
Rate the mic drop.
Rate the mic drop. You know?
I love it.
I don't know. I think it's a fun little thing.
So another,
I think it would be huge in Japan.
Another bit of just insider information is Gavin and Christy started this thing called Unreasonable Business Ideas, and I've joined into it. So whenever we think of a really bad business idea, but like so bad that it's good, it's actually kind of good, we add it to the list of unreasonable business ideas. So
yeah, the inaugural one was the one I came up with, which is whatsinthebox.com.
Okay.
And all that is for, let's say, $40 or $50, you get online and you order, we only sell one product, so you order the product to send to a friend or enemy, and it's basically like a 10-inch by 10-inch by 10-inch box, so a perfect cube box, and inside of it is a perfect replica of Gwyneth Paltrow's head covered in blood.
I love
and
that idea.
You can just send Gwyneth Paltrow's head to somebody, you know?
Now, would you want it to be like a cake, or just a head that they can't,
no,
there's no practical use?
Possible. Yeah, no, it's okay. just useless as goop, you know, just useless.
And for all you pop cultural illiterate people, that's a reference to the final scene from the movie Seven, directed by David Fincher.
Yep.
What's in the box?
Yeah, there's a lot of, that's what we call in the theater business a high APSI, which is acting per square inch.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
I had a couple, only one that comes to mind right now was Avant Gourde, which is, it's a seasonal business around Halloween. Instead of carving your own pumpkin, take it to Avant Gourde, where they will carve you a very bespoke pumpkin, probably with some sort of, like, stylish mustache or beard.
Yeah, it's basically a way for, you know, basic bitches to look like they're creative.
Oh, so if anyone listening to this has any good unreasonable business ideas, email them or Facebook them to me or Gavin or Christy. We'll just keep adding to the list.
Yeah, we have a running list. And some of them aren't so unreasonable. I mean, I like That Could Be Soup. You know?
Okay, you got to tell us what is That Could Be Soup, Gavin.
Okay, so if you're like, you know, I really want a different kind of soup. And so what you can do with That Could Be Soup, like, it's basically a soup kitchen, like a soup restaurant. So we will have our own signature soups on, you know, on tap, so to speak. But we'll also make your own stock for you. So if you're like, oh, you know what would be interesting? It has to be food. It has to be actual food. You can't just, like, bring in a tire.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you can say, oh, I want a pepperoni pizza stock. And so what you do is, on your way to work, you grab a couple slices of pepperoni pizza, you drop it off with That Could Be Soup, and then we, over the course of your workday, will boil it down into a stock for, like, 8 hours. And then when you come by, it's just a perfect pepperoni pizza flavored liquid.
Sounds amazing.
You can add whatever you want to it. And that's That Could Be Soup.
Yeah, you found a dead squirrel in the road. That could be soup.
That could be soup. Yeah. That could totally be soup. I mean, we would prefer that you bring in things that are not, like, roadkill, but the truth is, that could be soup.
Technically, it could be.
Who am I to judge?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole concept behind the Bowl of Brown from Game of Thrones. It was just, like, they would take whatever they found in the alleyways and streets and make soup out of it.
Yeah. One of my favorite signs I ever saw was when I was working as on the way. It was like a little tavern, and they had this sign up that said, right next to the Dairy Queen, and this sign up that said, Highway Pizza. And like, nobody. What are the topics? Like, what is on a highway? I mean, I have my own visual image of what a highway pizza looks like, and it's not Italian, you know?
No, they make it, they make a proper pizza, and then they just lay it in the road, and then they drive a Toyota Prius over it and just put a big tire track on it.
Fair enough. I mean, that's more sanitary than what I was thinking, you know?
Highway pizza.
Like, so disgusting.
Oh,
but,
nice.
Yeah. Well, I gotta get moving, but, you know, I have to organize my brain into office job stuff.
Okay.
But, man, have fun with Greece and Egypt. And what's after Egypt?
Lebanon and Jordan.
Okay. Okay, I hear they're both pretty. I hear Jordan's amazing.
I'm going to stop the podcast, but hang on for just a second longer.